Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC, and if the phrase early music brings to mind dusty libraries and earnest concerts of medieval chant, then you probably haven't been to a concert by Lionheart. The six-man New York-based vocal ensemble is known for performing polyphony with the raw energy and freshness of rock music. The group's latest project, entitled El Siglo de Oro, features the sublime choral music of 16th century Spain. They will be performing this Sunday at the Corpus Christi Church on Manhattan's Upper West Side. And today we are joined by two of the members of Lionheart, Lawrence Lipnick. Larry, welcome back.
Hello, thank you.
And Richard Porterfield. Rick, good to see you again, too.
Thanks, John.
So you're opening the 30th anniversary season of Music Before 1800 with music that comes from a couple of centuries before 1800. What is it about, you know, this area, the Spanish Renaissance, that made this, you know, sort of an inviting project for the band?
Well, the composers of this period were so fascinated with the melding of voices, the sort of interweaving of lines contrapuntally, and writing for, in a close harmony, men's voices seemed to fit really beautifully. Well, so,
but I mean, that doesn't sound like it would be too dissimilar from 14th century Burgundian music. I mean, is there something specific about Spain at that time that
we find a certain real vitality to the rhythm and something very distinctly Spanish about the harmony in these pieces. Even though they use a lot of the same techniques that Italian composers and Burgundian composers had been using,
so there's a little exotic, a little spicy quality because it's Spain, which at the time this was El Siglo de Oro, this was
right.
the century of gold, this was the height of their empire,
exactly, and the it was a kind of cultural crossroads. You have Seville, where both. There are two composers that we feature in this program that we found fascinating in how much contrast there was between the two of them. The earlier composer, Morales, was fascinated by exploring a contrapuntal purity.
So his style is a little more similar to the Italian style of Palestrina, for instance.
Right. And the later,
but there's still that spice, and it comes out of the difference in the language of the Spanish language, which will then influence the way vocal music is written.
Exactly,
and also the instrumental practices of the way the organ was played, for instance, in Spain, and so there are all these wonderful kind of flourishes that we find in the music.
Oh, right. Sure, and that the other composer, right. Guerrero, was fascinated by rhythmic invention, harmonic invention. So his music is such a wonderful contrast to the counterpoint of
Guerrero's music is later and more song-like, more like tunes.
Okay.
And his music we find very often in the New World, published in the New World, sung in the New World, brought over. There's a certain Spanish, what we consider Spanish characteristics of snappy rhythms and harmonies in his music in particular.
You know, you mentioned snappy rhythms and harmonies, and it reminds me of a story that weren't you guys once misidentified in a concert announcement as a doo-wop group?
Yes.
Yes, we were in, but most people stayed anyway.
So now, wait a minute. Tell what happened. It was New Jersey somewhere.
Yes, we did a concert in New Jersey.
Cape May.
It was early in our career, and somehow I think maybe someone had gotten mixed up with a cappella, which is just unaccompanied voices, and doo-wop, which of course is a kind of a cappella music. And so yes, we had been advertised as a doo-wop group, and of course we did 16th century music from England, and as I say, most people stayed, and we got a standing ovation, I think, in Kidney.
Yes,
we did.
Very good. All right, so none of those snappy harmonies of Spanish. You weren't into that repertoire.
If you want to hear us do that kind of thing, you have to stay for the reception afterwards.
Ah, okay. Once the booze has started flowing,
right.
The doo-wop might. All right.
Or something along those lines.
All right. Well, the band Lionheart, the six-voice New York-based early music ensemble, is opening the 30th anniversary season of Music Before 1800 here in New York at Corpus Christi Church. And that'll be on Sunday, this Sunday, October 2nd at 4 p.m. And I'm going to assume that the music of Luis de Victoria, which we're about to hear, Larry, that he's represented on the program?
He's not represented personally in the program,
Don't.
But
he is a Spanish composer.
Yes.
And it's on a CD of ours. So
has worked with both composers. And all three of those composers spent time working in Rome, too.
Okay.
So his music is particularly
cosmopolitan?
Yes, you could say that.
Okay. Here it is, some of the music of Luis de Victoria, performed by Lionheart. That's a recording by Lionheart, New York-based early music vocal sextet, which includes my two guests, Lawrence Lipnick and Richard Porterfield. Rick, what's the process like for researching music like this, where you're going back, in this case, you know, to the 16th century, but you've gone all the way back to the 12th?
Sure, we have. Larry actually did a lot of the research on this particular program, but I think what we generally do is go to the library. We go to the library, we see what scholars have put out there for us, and if it leads us to something else that hasn't been made into a modern edition, we can often do some of that work ourselves.
All right, now, when you say the library, you don't mean going down to the corner library
in the
neighborhood?
No, we use the university libraries that we can. Well, of course, the New York Public Library here has an incredible collections. But then we take things to the group and we try things out. And we put a check mark if it's good, and we put two check marks on it if it's really good. And if it doesn't get a check mark in that first reading, then you're probably not going to hear it on the concert.
Uh-huh. So it's not, Larry, you're not like rooting around in the monasteries of Europe looking, you know, on the inside of old book covers for things that had been written over and stuff.
We don't, but that would be a fun project sometimes.
Sounds like a nice vacation
in
idea.
In Tuscany, yeah. I think, or in Spain. I think that's what we should do.
So when the six of you first got together, is it true that for like weeks on end, all you did was sing in unison, no harmony, no counterpoint, just get the unison thing going?
Well, in terms of our ensemble, which we're a conductorless ensemble. I mean, we're small. We're just six people, but in terms of developing a sense of intuition about the music, we already enjoyed singing together and felt that our voices had the right blend. But singing in unison is something that has really helped hone a kind of musical intuition or alchemy about the ensemble. So we tend to think in the same way, but our approach to the music tends to be very simpatico, which has been a very exciting way to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's helpful.
All of our programs feature chant, you know, where we are singing in unison. It's just something that we really like to do and build things around it.
Right, and something else that's attracted us to this particular repertoire for Sunday is this. There's a mass by Morales that we're featuring that is based on the Ave Maria chant, and you can hear it very distinctly running through the counterpoint.
Right,
and we also sing a number of chants, Gregorian chants, in the program, so you can get that sense of a very elaborate flowering of counterpoint and single line, the austerity of the chant.
So you give people the Ave Maria chant, the original chant.
Right.
And they'll then later on...
Yes, but you'd think we would give it at the beginning, but we don't. We actually save it to the end. But it goes like this, Ave Maria. And when you hear that, you hear that quite a bit in this program.
And it's preserved so beautifully in the Mass that you actually... The text of the Ave Maria chant is intact.
Hmm.
So we're singing the Mass, and the Ave Maria chant is going
is sort of hidden in there.
As though there were monks places. Singing.
Yeah.
Then the Mass itself is a, they call it so historians call it a parody Mass, in that it's based on a motet that Morales wrote, which... Includes that, and
parody. We have to mention parody in this case does not mean making fun
not
of.
Comedy. No, not right. A spoof. But
yeah, just it literally means that it's based on an earlier piece
that people might
be expected to know if they were living in that place at that time.
Yes, and or probably the motet was so well liked that someone said, "Okay, Cristobal, you have to write a Mass based on that, and I'll give you some money for that."
Okay.
So we have Mass and. That complete Mass, plus some motets by Morales, but Guerrero's music, he compositionally expands on Morales, and he writes these beautiful madrigals or canciones that he then refits with devotional religious texts that we'll be performing. It rarely performed, but we'll be doing in the program as well.
So just as you could have a Mass based on a pop song of the day.
Absolutely.
This guy, Morales, could write...
Guerrero.
Guerrero could write sort of popular, you know, secular songs, but weave in sacred
material.
Well,
they actually had a first life as secular songs.
How about that? All right.
Then he would so you could sing them in a devotional aspect, too. He republished them with religious texts, not liturgical, but devotional texts.
Okay. Well, now, you mentioned Ave Maria. We're going to hear, again, from Tomás Luis de Victoria and his Ave Maria. Are we talking about the same chant at the basis?
Yes, it's based on the same chant, or at least you hear the same opening motive in this setting that we're about to hear. It's woven more thoroughly through the music in the Morales setting that we'll be doing on Sunday.
Although it begins with the austerity of the chant.
All right.
Hear.
Well, let's hear a little bit of this De Victoria setting of Ave Maria. And again, this is a performance by the complete sextet known as Lionheart.
Thank you. champagne.
We're listening to the group Lionheart, and all six voices going here on an album called Palestrina, Soul of Rome, although this is music from the Spanish composer Tomás Luis de Victoria, his setting of the Ave Maria. The six members of Lionheart include Lawrence Lipnick, the countertenor, Michael Ryan Wenger, and John Oland, the tenors, Jeffrey Johnson and Richard Porterfield, the baritones, Kurt Owen Richards, the bass. Both Larry and Rick with me here in the studio on Soundcheck. Larry, where'd you record this?
This was in a church on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, Church of the Ascension on
107th Street.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful acoustics.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, apparently you did. I mean, you went there and made a record there.
It's sometimes a little challenging to make a record in New York City, but sometimes you just wait for the airplane to go by and then then the truck goes by. But then you can get such a beautiful sound in some of these wonderful spaces we have in the city.
So, and that's an important part of this, the sound of this music. It was meant for this kind of space.
Yes, for a reverberant space. We enjoy very much singing at Corpus Christi Church, where we're going to be singing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful place.
It's the 30th anniversary of Music Before 1800, annual series devoted to early music here in New York. But you guys also do contemporary music, which is, you know, not an unusual thing for early music singers.
No, of course, lots of groups do kind of both the early music and contemporary things, and we've had some wonderful things written for us. It's a great, exciting thing. We're looking forward to Phil Klein writing a new mass setting for us with a little help from you folks here.
Right, a WNYC commission that will be premiering in the fall of 06. But, that's by no means the first time that you've done contemporary music. What is it about the vocal style of early music singing and contemporary music singing that allows, the people in those two camps to freely go from one to the other, while you have the opera people in the middle and they don't seem to do either?
Right, it's true. I think there's something about the construction of the music and the clarity of sound of the individual voices that then can also form into this kind of blend that attracts composers and performers to this music. A French composer, Marc-André d'Albavie, mm-hmm. recently heard us in a concert of 13th century French music and was inspired to write a new piece for us. And what inspired him was the resonance of the music, the complexity of the construction of the music, as well as the purity and resonance that you achieve.
Now, you've used the word purity a couple of times. Does that refer to the sort of the lack of vibrato? I mean, operatic singers are trained to use vibrato as
sure,
a means of projecting.
And any voice will use it to some extent.
Right.
And a lot of operatic singing sometimes, takes it out for expressive purposes. But we don't have to, we're not singing against a large orchestra, so we're not having to put out the kinds of hefty volume mm-hmm. that kind of vocal production requires. And
It also allows for a rhythmic precision that I think it is.
Yeah, that's something that contemporary composers really
like. Right. I mean, for example, Steve Reich, the American composer, I mean, his first singers in his band, he drew from the early music
scene.
Yeah,
and he continues to do so, yes.
So I mentioned your concert on Sunday is part of the 30th anniversary season of Music Before 1800. Obviously, Louise Basbus, who runs that series, and her crew have done yeoman work here in New York for 30 years.
Oh, amazing. Fantastic series.
The impression within the early music community still seems to be that New York lags behind Boston or San Francisco. I mean, you guys are within the scene. How lively, how percolating is it here in New York?
Percolates. It isn't as organized. There aren't major festivals that are organized around it. Last year there was the first, it was an experiment with that, with the early music celebration.
Right. Last October.
Right. And there are plans
for successful.
That. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what Boston has is a music and musical instrument festival that goes along with it. So many people come to view the instruments, to buy music. That really hasn't been established, at least not yet, in the city.
I don't know of any city that could compete with New York for a cappella vocal ensembles. I mean, we're the home of Lionheart and Pomerium and Anonymous Four, and who knows who's just waiting to come on next? Who knows?
Right. Do you guys get a little ticked off when people refer to you as the male Anonymous Four? I've heard many times.
It's a compliment. They're wonderful.
It is meant as a compliment. Yeah.
I don't mind.
Our approach to the music is similar. We enjoyed working together over the years.
Right, right.
So it's, yeah.
All right. So the concert is this Sunday at 4 o'clock. It's at Corpus Christi Church, which is at 529 West 121st Street. It opens the 30th anniversary season of Music Before 1800. And if you'd like details, you can get them online at mb1800.org. Now, you guys will be doing this music live in the church on Sunday, and then what, heading into the studio?
Well, first there's the champagne reception after the concert.
Yes. We keep coming back to the champagne reception.
Yes, yes. But we're planning to record this program this year.
Mm-hmm. So it'll
be looking forward to that.
It'll be the next Lionheart CD,
yes,
then.
Yes, hopefully by the fall.
All right. Well, Larry, Rick, thank you both for joining us. And
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And, you know, always a pleasure to have the full sextet here in the studio, but lacking that today, great to have you two guys here. Enjoy the gig on Sunday afternoon. We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, son.
This is Soundcheck.
For I found where she lay, an arrow in her heart. She bent for fate she might not pray. Now blow thy horn, hunter. Now blow thy horn, tommy hunter. I was weary of the game. I went to tavern to drink. Now the construction of the same. What do you mean or think?
This, too, is Lionheart from their album of music from Tudor, England, called My Fair Lady. And that'll do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow on the program, Thelonious Monk and John Coltrane, in a manner of speaking. A never-before-heard historic recording of the Thelonious Monk Quartet with John Coltrane has just been released by Blue Note Records. We'll speak with Lewis Porter, director of Rutgers University's Masters in Jazz History and Research Program. Also, music journalist Tim Riley will update us on what's still new and interesting about the Beatles. Tomorrow on Soundcheck, our engineer is Rob Christensen, our technical director Irene Trudell, our producers Allison Lichter and Brian Wise, our executive producers Chris Bannon and Elena Park. We had help from Melissa Fogarty. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again tomorrow at 2 for the next Soundcheck. Stay with us now for Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock with actors Paul Reiser and Peter Falk, starring as son and father in a new film called The Thing About My Folks.